Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We're your hosts, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover, and today we have a very special program for you.
We sure do. Our special guest today is Dr. Gary Chapman. Dr. Chapman is the Senior Associate Pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but you probably know him as the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Five Love Languages. Dr. Chapman, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
You know, we feel like marriage is an adventure, and there's been things over the past 23 years that has made our adventure more enjoyable and a whole lot more thriving. And so your book, The Five Love Languages, has impacted us tremendously over the past 23 years. And we teach this concept in our premarital workshops and couple checkups and different things like that. So we thank you for that.
And one thing that's amazing about this book that we've discovered is that it has sold more books every year in publication than the year it was originally published. And how many languages has this book been translated in?
You know, it's over 50 languages now, which really surprised me because my academic background before I studied counseling and theology was anthropology, the study of cultures.
Wow.
So, and I was very, you know, attuned to cultural differences. So when the Spanish publisher came, they were the first, and, you know, asked permission to publish it. I said to my publisher, I don't know, does this work in Spanish?
Yeah.
And they said, well, they read the book and they want to publish it. So they sold the rights to them, they published it, and they sold over 3 million copies in Spanish now. It became their bestseller.
Goodness gracious.
So it's been amazing to me how God is using this book all over the world to touch the lives of married couples and help them learn how to often restore, you know, love in the relationship and meet that deep emotional need for love, which is, as you know, the fundamental need we have on a human level, emotionally, is the need to feel loved by the significant people in our lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been exciting to see how God has used that book and is using that book.
Wow. Now, when you came up with the concept of the five love languages, did you have any inkling how impactful that concept would be? Did you feel like, wow, I think this is life-changing? Or did you just feel like, hey, this is something God gave me, we'll see what happens?
Well, I knew the concept would change lives because I had been using it in my own counseling probably for up to 10 years before I wrote the book. Mm. And I discovered it in my counseling. You know, they would sit in my office, husband and wife, and one of them would say about the other, I just don't feel any love coming from them. You know, and the other would say, well, I don't understand that. You know, I do this and this and this, and why would you not feel love? And I knew people were sincere, and they were missing each other. They, in their mind, they were expressing love, but it wasn't connecting with the other person. So what I did was to eventually sit down and read several years of notes that I made when I was counseling and ask myself, when someone said, I feel like my spouse doesn't love me, what did they want? What were they complaining about? And their answers fell into five categories. I later called them the five love languages. And I started using that in my counseling and helping them discover each other's language and challenging them to go home and try it. And sometimes they'd come back in 3 weeks and say, Gary, this is changing things. I mean, it's different now. And so I had done that in my counseling, and then I started using it in small groups of couples, and the same thing would happen. So I knew it was helpful, but I had no idea, of course, that it would sell now 13 million copies in English and be translated in all these other languages. So, yeah, it's a God thing. People ask me, you know, how do I explain this? And I said, well, the short answer is God, and the long answer is God.
Okay?
Well, have you seen this impact your own marriage? Because you've met, how many years have you been married now?
Yeah, I've been married 58 years.
Wow.
50.
I got married when I was 9. Okay.
Now my parents as well. My parents celebrated 58. They'll celebrate 59 in January. So that's a tremendous thing. Congratulations.
Yeah, but Carol and I had a lot of struggles in the early years of our marriage. We were both different, of course, and our conflicts emerged, and we didn't know how to solve conflicts, and so we argued with each other. And really, within a year of our marriage, I was wondering, you know, I think we made a mistake. You know, this is not working. I don't know what to do. So, we struggled greatly. And it was, of course, years later that I discovered the love language. But what happened in our marriage was I was in seminary, training to be a pastor. We went to seminary 2 weeks after we got married.
Wow.
And here I am studying to be a pastor, and things aren't going well in the marriage. And I'm saying to myself and later to God, I don't know how this is going to work. You know, I cannot preach hope to people and be this miserable. And I eventually said, God, I don't know what to do. I've done everything I know to do, and I don't know what to do. And when I said that to God, there came to my mind a visual image of Jesus on his knees washing the feet of his disciples. And I heard God say to me, that's the problem with your marriage.
Wow.
You don't have that attitude toward her. Hit me like a ton of bricks, because I knew I didn't have that attitude. You know, my attitude was, look, I know how to have a good marriage. If you listen to me, you'll have one. She wouldn't listen to me. And I blamed her. But that day I got a different message, and I said, God, forgive me. With all of my study in Greek and Hebrew and theology, I've missed the whole point. And I said, please give me the attitude of Christ. And God changed my heart. And really, three simple questions began to make this practical for me. I started asking her, honey, how can I help you? Second question, how can I make your life easier? Third question, how can I be a better husband? And I started responding to her answers, and it didn't change overnight. But within 3 months, my wife started asking me those three questions.
Wow.
And that whole marriage turned around. Wow. Now, looking back on it, I now understand that her answers to my questions was telling me her love language. But I didn't know the love language concept back then.
Right.
But, you know, and I say in the book, I'm giving information, you know, on how to communicate love, but I can't give you motivation. Motivation, I mean, here's where I got my motivation. You know, I share my story, how God changed my heart.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of my story, but the concept of love languages, even when I didn't know it, was really up in her marriage.
That's tremendous. You know, so for Bonnie and me, we've been married just 23 years. And my love language, when we first got married, our story with your book, we had just been married about a year, and we were starting out, we were musicians, we were leading worship, and kind of starting out on the road at that time, but we were part of a little church plant, and our small group, Bible study at the church, did your book, and I had never heard of it before then. This was probably 97, mm-hmm. 98. And of course, they didn't have the online assessment and all that then. And so we read the book, and instantly we knew what Bonnie's love language was. It was harder for us to pinpoint mine. And so we read it again. And finally we came upon that statement in the book, or the place in the book, where it says that your love language is typically the way you show love, not just feel love. And and gifts was a big thing for me, giving gifts, and which caused strife in our marriage because we didn't have any money.
we were struggling musicians in ministry.
And Bonnie doesn't even gifts don't even register on her.
Oh, it's
her
a
assessment.
Zero. It's absolutely a zero.
She's totally quality time. And so I was just trying to give gifts out of no money, and that was frustrating her.
Like, stop spending the money we don't have. I don't need anything.
But then we spent the next 8 or 10 years traveling on the road in a little motorhome and doing music. And she suckered me into changing my love language to quality time. Because when you're spending 24/7 together in a 24-foot motorhome, you tend to have to be around each other
a lot. You have to learn.
So both of our love language now is quality time, our primary one. But and my secondary one is words of affirmation. Now, Dr. Chapman, I've got to say, I think I've found a sixth love language.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, you ready? I told Bonnie the sixth love language is laughs of affirmation. If she laughs at my jokes, I'm good. So she has made a covenant with my daughter. Baby, we always have to laugh at Daddy's jokes, no matter how corny they are. So maybe that's a subheading underneath words of affirmation, but laughs of affirmation.
Right.
That might be your next
we'll
book. That's the big
one.
Yeah,
I like that.
So if you're listening today, if you haven't read the book, The Five Love Languages, you should, and there's no question about it. So Bonnie and I like to encourage couples to read books together. We like to read books together. Sometimes she'll read it. I'll read it separately, and then at Pella Talk or over dinner, we'll talk about books. And so grab that book, or if you're not a big reader, listen to the audio book. It's tremendous, and it'll have a tremendous impact on your marriage, as it has so many others.
Well, and this book has been tremendous, but Dr. Chapman, you've authored a ton of other books. People equate, you know, they think of you and they think of the five love languages, but how many other books have you written?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know. I did have count it, then I lost count. I never did go back to count, but I know it's been over 40, okay?
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
So you have devoted your life to investing in marriages, even at your church or through speaking and teaching and through writing, and it's amazing. And your most recent book that you came out with was in June of 2019, The DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts, that you co-authored with Shannon Warden. Can you tell us a little bit about that book and its concept?
Yeah, my co-author on this book, as you mentioned, Dr. Shannon Warden, she's a counselor and a professor at the university here in town, and a strong Christian gal, used to be on our staff as a counselor. We wrote this book together. It was her idea, to be honest with you, to use the metaphor of home improvement that we see on television, mm-hmm. where you tear down certain things and replace them with other things. Mm. And so we wrote this book using that metaphor. And it's written to you how to build a family that lasts. It's 12 tools that help improve your family life. And such things as, just for example, demolish selfishness and replace it with kindness. By nature, all of us are selfish, okay? We're self-centered. There's a good part to that. It means we feed ourselves, we get sleep, we get exercise. But when that becomes a way in which we approach a marriage relationship, and by nature we do that, my way, we're unkind to each other. Mm. Words of kindness and acts of kindness can transform the emotional climate in a relationship. So rather than barking out at each other, you speak in kindness, with kind words. And rather than doing things that undermine the relationship because they might be what you want, you look for things you can do for them, acts of kindness. So, that's the model that we use. For example, how about let's decrease grumbling and increase gratitude?
Mm, that's so good.
If your children are grumbling, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like the other thing, well, let's replace that with gratitude. And here's a little assignment, for example. What if you take every family member, give them a sheet of paper and a pencil and pen, put them in a separate room of the house, and let them list five things in that room that they're thankful for. Just things, okay? Then come back together as a family and let everybody read their list. It's amazing what it does. I have something to be thankful for. Next week, do the same thing, add three more. And, do that a few weeks. Now they're beginning to think, what am I thankful for? Then you can move from the material things to the non-material things. So we just try to get practical ideas on how to change attitudes and behaviors on the part of children and parents.
Yeah.
And if you do it as a family, it's a family project. We're all into this thing. So, I'm excited about this book. I think it will give some folks some handles on how to make real improvements in family life.
I've seen that to be true with our children. They are 8 and 10, and recently, they've gone through a little stage where they have been they normally get along really well, but lately they've been kind of nitpicking and just annoying each other. And you know how brothers and sisters do. They find find that one thing that annoys each other, and they push those buttons. And the last couple of weeks on the way to school, if they get in the car and they're in a bad mood, I've said, okay, wait a minute. Let's talk about some things we're thankful for. What are some things we have to be thankful for? And the more they say those things they're thankful for, it's like it changes the entire atmosphere in the home. The more we focus on gratitude, it really changes the climate. And it's kind of, I think they've started to realize that that's my tactic for making them stop fight. I have to make them list things they're thankful for. But it does work.
I love that word you said, climate, because everybody that's in that home experiences that climate, not just the marriage relationship. You know, that gives the understanding is that when the husband and wife can begin to be kind to each other, that climate in that home is going to change, and that's going to affect the communication of the children and then the communication of the friends or anybody that they come in contact with. I love that.
Yeah.
I've heard said before that Thanksgiving are the keys that crank the engine of worship. And it's kind of that enter the gates with Thanksgiving that prepares our hearts and gets us on God's mindset and off our own. It's such a good thing.
Yeah, here's another just a plain example of the family. So you have a little family sit together, you know, and so everybody's going to say three things they appreciate about Daddy. Okay, so they all verbalize it. Then you go around the room, and then you turn to each of the children. So everybody's going to tell three things that they appreciate about, you know, Johnny and Mary. Again, it's just a way of building this awareness that we have a whole lot more to be thankful for in each other than we do to grumble and complain about each other.
Yeah, that's so good. We, as one of the tools that we really liked that you talked about was forgiveness. Choosing forgiveness over resentment. And this is a tough one. Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, all of us from time to time will be imperfect, okay? Mm-hmm. Another word for that is sin.
Right.
So let's say that dad does speak harshly to mother, okay? Okay, so he's going to acknowledge that to her and say, honey, I'm sorry. I lost my temper, I spoke to you harshly, I'm sorry, that's not the way I should be talking to you, and I hope you'll forgive me. And so the Lord chooses to forgive. Now, maybe the children didn't hear that apology and that forgiveness. So the next night, when you're sitting around the table, the dad says to the children, I know last night you heard me raise my voice at your mom, and I spoke harshly to her. Well, last night, before we went to bed, I told her I was wrong, and I apologized to her, and I asked her to forgive me, and she did. But I want to ask you kids to forgive me also, because children should not have to hear their daddy yell at their mother. Yeah. And I did. I was wrong, and I want to ask you children to forgive me. Yeah, you don't have to worry about the children to forgive you, okay? It's just a way we're teaching them by our model. That when we do wrong, we apologize, and then the other person chooses to forgive us. And if we make that a way of life in our family, it's going to help those kids down the road, because they're going to need to know how both to apologize and to forgive. Mm-hmm. And without apology and forgiveness, you know, we don't move forward. When we do something or say something that's harsh or mean to a family member, it puts a barrier, emotional barrier, between the two of us. And it does not go away with the passing of time.
You're right.
It only goes away when we're willing to acknowledge it and then they're willing to forgive us. And it's essential, really, to having a long-term healthy relationship.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things you say in that chapter is, you say, our attitude guides us to our behavior. And you said forgiveness means that you will lift the penalty, let go of resentment, and seek to move forward in the relationship.
Yeah. What counsel would you give the couple that's in the middle of harboring unforgiveness or resentment? And they know, many couples I meet with, they know in their mind they need to forgive. They know what's right. And at certain times of the day, they feel like they should. But when they get in that moment, they don't have that ability to flip that switch and respond appropriately to their spouse. How can couples get over that hurdle?
Well, one of the things I say is that forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice, as you said earlier, to lift the penalty, to not make them pay for this the rest of their life. I'm going to pardon them. I'm going to remove the barrier between us and let the relationship go on. It's a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. But when we choose to verbalize it, we're acknowledging to the other person, this is what I'm doing. Now, the memory will still come back of what they did to you and how they hurt you. Mm-hmm. And when the memory comes back, the emotion will come back. And you'll feel the hurt again. You may feel the anger again. What do? You take it to God and you say, Lord, you know what I'm remembering and you know what I'm feeling again. And I thank you that I chose to forgive that. So you affirm your forgiveness. I think sometimes people will say, you know, okay, I forgive you, but then they don't. They hold it. they allow these emotions to control their behavior.
Right.
So we don't erase from our minds what happened. We can't do that. It will come back to us from time to time. But if we understand forgiveness is not an emotion, forgiveness is a choice, and I'm choosing to lift the penalty. I'm choosing to remove the barrier. I'm choosing to let our relationship go forward in a positive way. That I think has helped a lot of couples understand that difference.
That's so good. Well, you also authored another book called Loving Your Spouse When You Feel Like Walking Away. What would you say to the couple who feels like their marriage is in such a hopeless state that they just feel like it'd be easier and to walk away?
Yeah. Well, that book is written to people who are in very, very difficult marriages. I'm talking about such things as meditating alcoholic or drug addict, married to somebody that won't work, or somebody works all the time. You don't ever see them.
Yeah.
Or somebody won't talk to you. You know, they just sit there. They won't talk at all. Or somebody, you know, just all kind of really, really hard, hard situations. And I know you can get to the place where you feel like walking away. You know, I understand that. But the reality is, and we all acknowledge this, we cannot change our spouse. But what we fail to recognize is we can influence our spouse.
That's good.
Influence is powerful. The question is, are we going to have a positive influence or a negative influence? And usually in a difficult marriage, by nature, we give a negative influence. We complain to them. We tell them how awful they are. We just lash out at them for things that they're doing. Love is the most powerful influence in the world. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying in that book is, I understand how you feel like walking away, but would you, with the help of God, reach out and seek to love that spouse in the right love language over a six-month period of time, no matter how they treat you? Now, I'm not talking about physical abuse and that sort of thing. Yeah. You don't sit there and let that happen. But you're going to speak their love language even though they're not loving you. And let's just see what happens. And over again, I've seen that person warm up, and then they're open to your request to get help. Whereas before, if you just verbally lashed out at them over 2 years, and then you say, yeah, I'm out of here. And in their mind, they're saying, good riddance. I'm tired, sick and tired of all your complaining. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But if you've loved them for 6 months and they really sense that you're changing, you change your whole strategy here, they're far more likely when you say to them, you know, honey, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like the last 6 months I have really tried to be the wife or the husband that I really want to be. But I don't know if you're interested or not. It seems to me like you have no interest in changing. So if you're not, I'm not going to abandon you, and I'm not going to sit here and do nothing. I love you too much to do nothing. So I'm going to move in with my mother for a little while, and I'm open to go to counseling for you if you want to. I want to do anything you can to reconcile. You see, now, since they've been receiving love for 6 months, they've got something to lose.
That's right.
And they're far more motivated to go for counseling now and get the help they need. So it's that kind of thing that I'm suggesting in that book. Many folks are finding that book to be very helpful.
Ah, that's good. That's great counsel. So you guys have been married for a little bit, for a few years. And I know you've probably counseled thousands and thousands of couples, and it's an adventure. And we like to say that no adventure is fun unless you're healthy. It's no fun to go on a hike or to run a little race when you're hurt or injured. And so we feel like a healthy marriage is the best way for you to thrive on your adventure. So real quick before we close, what do you think are just some essentials of a healthy marriage? Just those things that should be staples.
Well, three things jump to my mind. One is that you keep emotional love alive in the relationship. I mean, that's the love language, the part of it. I think you can have a long-term marriage without that. You know, people have been married for 40 years. That's a lot. That's long-term. But it's not a healthy marriage because they don't feel love. They're just roommates living in the same house.
Yeah.
So I think you have to keep love alive. Secondly, I think you have to deal effectively with our failures. And that involves apologizing and forgiving, which we discussed earlier. You can't have a long-term marriage without that, and a healthy marriage, because we're not perfect. You know, all of us are imperfect. You don't have to be perfect to have a long-term healthy marriage, but you do have to deal with your failures.
Yeah.
So if you apologize and forgive each other. And then the third is handling anger in a positive way. All of us experience the emotional anger from time to time. But mismanaged anger destroys marriages. We have to learn how to handle anger and distinguish between what I call definitive anger and distorted anger. Definitive anger is the person sinned against you. You should be mad because God's mad.
Yeah.
And how do you handle that? And the Bible's pretty clear on that. You confront them lovingly. And if they repent, you forgive them, and so forth. But we have a lot of distorted anger, and that is we get angry because we didn't get our way.
Right.
A lot of our anger in the family falls in that category. So learning how to handle that. I have a whole book on that, anger, taming a powerful emotion. But I think those three things, to me, are, I would say, pretty essential to having a long-term healthy marriage.
That's so great. So great. Such a wealth of wisdom that we've gained from someone who's had a tremendous impact on so many marriages throughout his ministry. So we want to thank you so much for being with us today.
And before we close, how can people find your book and your books, your many, many books, and follow you online? How can they follow what you're teaching?
They can go to 5lovelanguages.com, the number 5lovelanguages.com, and they'll get little blurbs on all of my books. They can also listen to my radio program. I have a weekly radio program. They can download the podcast on those. They can get on my weekly email that I send out to folks. All sorts of things on there. And also, there are free quizzes on there for the love languages. And a free quiz on the apology language, which you consider to be an apology. So a lot of practical help on that website, 5lovelanguages.com.
That's so great, and we have definitely spent some time on that website as we direct couples there to take the quiz, and so many free resources that you offer just out of a heart to invest in marriages, and that's tremendous, and we are so appreciative. Thank you for your ministry and your marriage that's lasted so long,
that's right.
Been an investment in so many people. We appreciate you.
Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast today. It's been so enjoyable.
Well, thank you, and God bless you all as you continue to reach out and help people.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.